Okay. Alright. Saya Dr. Fatimah Latas. Tadi Pihak Universiti pun dah kenalkan saya kan? Okay. So, kita sebelum kita start apa-apa pun discussion dengan saya, selalunya kita akan tanya soalan dulu supaya kita ada some idea lah what the next time, the next few minutes ataupun satu jam, the next 1 hour atau 45 minutes is going to look like kiranya. So mungkin persoalan-persoalan yang kita ada ataupun yang mungkin tersimpan kita tak tanya adalah satu, kenapa ada sesi macam cabaran wanita berkerjaya tapi tak ada pula sesi cabaran lelaki berkerjaya kan. Lepas tu ramai pula yang attend cabaran wanita berkerjaya, selalu ada, selalu kan ada talk pasal macam mana wanita perlu juggle between work life balance dan sebagainya, dan target kepada wanita sahaja. Jadi kenapa wanita yang selalu melalui pelbagai cabaran kan, kenapa wanita yang selalu ada issue of work life balance, issue of time management dan sebagainya. Mungkin kita juga tertanya-tanya, is it because wanita sepatutnya duduk rumah ataupun sepatutnya wanita is trying to do too much. Kadang-kadang kita dengar kan orang cakap, oh wanita hari ni nak cuba buat semua benda, trying to have it all. Sepatutnya duduk diam-diam macam dekat rumah. Is that what we're supposed to do? What does it mean? Kenapa it becomes so challenging? Is it because kita lari daripada apa yang sepatut kita buat? Sepatutnya kerja kita jaga rumah je. Contohnya lah persoalan dia yang ada. Ataupun sometimes kita rasa, oh sayalah, it's me, it's my fault, I yang tak pandai buat ni ke contohnya kan. Kita yang rasa macam orang lain nampak okay, check dekat dia punya Facebook ke, tengok dia punya Instagram, nampak dia happy je, macam anak dia selalu senyum je, macam rumah dia bersih je, cantik je, dekor-dekor semua kan. Dia dengan suami dia nampak happy je, gambar selalu pergi holiday, gambar pergambaran tangan contohnya. Lepas tu dia macam selalu pergi dating dengan suami dia, so nampak happy je, nampak terurus je, anak dia pandai ke macam mana ke kan. Kita tengok, lepas tu kita rasa macam, saya ke yang tak elok, saya ke yang tak pandai, saya ke yang kekurangan, it's me lah kiranya kan. So maybe kita sometimes kita ask ourselves that. Ataupun mungkin kita dalam rumah kita sendiri, kita rasa macam anak-anak macam okey je, semua orang okey, husband apa okey, tapi kita je selalu stres-stres, rumah bersepah, stres makanan tak siap, stres homework anak ada lagi, stres lepas ni nak buat apa, stres bos dah call kerja tak siap contohnya kan, lagi-lagi time PKP macam ni. Lepas tu kita kadang-kadang kita rasa macam, oh sampai bila nak lalui macam ni, sampai bila nak go through benda ni, lagi-lagi dah PKP dah setahun kan. Saya tahu ramai kawan-kawan yang dah berhenti kerja sebab rasa macam tak boleh, dah tak boleh take it anymore kan, sebab tak ada solution ataupun tak nampak jalan keluar dan rasa macam it's time for me to take a step back daripada saya punya my career dan stay at home contohnya lah kan. Okay, so these are some of the questions yang mungkin kita ada in our head. Again, what is it yang make it unique to women that kita ada cabaran berkerjaya dan kita ada targeted punya isu lah, kiranya yang spesifik kepada wanita sahaja. So, saya bawakan angle ataupun lens, kita panggil lah lens sosiologi. Dalam sosiologi ni kita ada, kita panggil sociological imagination. Cara berimajinasi ataupun cara faham satu isu daripada perspektif sosiologi. Okey, apa tu sociological imagination? Okey, bila kita bincang tentang sociological imagination, kita bayangkan hidup kita ni macam kita always together and connected. Walaupun kita membuat apa-apa decision pun, yang kita rasa decision tu personal, yang kita rasa, oh this is my own decision, saya yang pilih buat decision ni, tapi macam mana pun kita akan ada connection dengan orang lain dan kita akan membuat decision based on apa yang kita tahu, dan apa yang kita tahu tu develop daripada kita punya pembesaran, kita punya persekitaran. Contohnya lah kan, anak-anak muda zaman sekarang ataupun macam kanak-kanak ke, kebanyakan walaupun lelaki ke perempuan, bila dah habis sekolah ada kefahaman yang boleh masuk universiti contohnya, kalau kita tengok rata-rata kan. Tapi kalau kita tengok mungkin 30 ataupun 50 tahun lepas, bukan semua orang akan terfikir lepas habis sekolah masuk universiti ataupun fikir nak hantar anak ke sekolah. Tak ada pun kita yang terfikir tak naklah hantar anak pergi sekolah kan contohnya. Kita membuat apa-apa keputusan ataupun kita punya outlook on life, kita punya worldview on life ni banyak shape daripada kita punya socialization. So kita untuk faham satu isu tu, kita kena tengok okay, apa social conditions yang ada dekat sini. Bila kita tengok isu wanita berkerjaya, selalu ada persepsi yang benda tu mencabar, ada banyak isu dekat situ. Jadi kita kena tengok okay, apa social condition yang berlaku yang menyebabkan susah untuk wanita berkerjaya. Macam itulah. So kita slowly unpack daripada situ, mungkin kita semua boleh find okay, apa yang saya boleh buat okay, dalam atas kapasiti saya, what can I do to make things better for me lah kiranya kan. Ataupun kalau kita ada kapasiti yang lebih, macam mana kita nak make things better for other people juga. Okay. Alright, kita tengok ada lagi satu konsep sosiologi saya share kat sini, nama dia socialization process. Daripada kita lahir kan, sebelum kita lahir pun sebenarnya socialization process tu dah terbentuk. Contohnya bila ibu mengandung, lepas tu dapat tahu anak kan scan, boleh tahu kan gender baby, girl ke boy kan. Daripada situ ibu bapa dah ada macam dream, dah tahu dah okay, nanti anak girl ni nak ajar macam ni, nak pakaikan baju macam ni, nak sediakan persekitaran yang macam ni. Dan daripada situ anak tu besar dan kita pilih sebagai ibu bapa, contohnya kita ada some ability untuk pilihkan anak kita nak besar macam mana, apakah persekitaran yang kita nak sediakan untuk dia, apa yang kita nak ajar untuk dia. Dan daripada situ dia pun selain daripada apa yang kita buat, the society yang dia apa live in, contohnya media, like tadi you all punya video pasal apa the role of social media and environment to shape who we are. Anak-anak kita tengok kan, macam tengok kartun, dia baca buku-buku yang kita share dekat dia, whether dia baca buku ataupun tidak, okay, all of that will shape their outlook and will shape to for them to see what they can do, what they cannot do. Contohnya dia biasa tengok wanita yang rupa macam ni. Okey, wanita ni role dia apa? Contohnya okey, nampak mak, mak masak di rumah contohnya, yang buat kerja rumah semua mak. Ayah dia mungkin repair kereta ke, berguna kerja dengan kereta semua ayah buat. Lepas tu dekat rumah nampaklah pembahagian gender role macam tu contohnya. Jadi anak pun belajar daripada situ. Dan dia pun tengok kawan-kawan dia, dia pun tengok surrounding dia daripada buku sekolah. Ada kan gender role kat buku sekolah pun ada kita nampak. Contohnya kalau ada anak-anak, kita boleh tengok kan buku sekolah anak kita yang buat kerja rumah selalu perempuan kan. So budak-budak daripada situ dia belajar. Dia belajar okay, apa yang diconsider feminine dan apa yang diconsider masculine contohnya. Okay, mungkin saya boleh kongsikan short discussion pasal feminine dan masculine eh. Feminine dan masculine konsep sosiologi kita belajar adalah satu social construct. Maksudnya dia berkait dengan konteks yang mana kita hidup. Contohnya dekat Malaysia kan, bila kita cakap pasal masak ni, kita lebih kepada kita attach kan, ada gender dekat situ kan, masak tu adalah something that is more feminine. Tapi mungkin di society lain, masak tu tak ada konteks gender pun, tak ada, tidak digenderkan whether cooking is a feminine role ataupun a masculine role. Sama juga macam bermain di luar kan, ataupun bermain sukan, ataupun berjaya di at work contoh kan, is that something that is ada gendered ataupun tak ada gendered, it should be for everybody yang boleh dapatkan kan. So things like this kita belajar. So contohnya research shows that most of us, most women, bukan sahaja di Malaysia, bukan sahaja di macam Muslim society kan, ada cita-cita untuk menjadi ibu. So kita macam kebanyakan wanita ada cita-cita untuk menjadi ibu. Kita rasa macam okay, the ideal future for us is to be a mother one day. So that's why we have a lot of issues kalau ada isu infertility. It's very sensitive kan. So, but if it's something that kebanyakan women look forward to in their future, so it becomes challenging for them to accept that mungkin bukan rezeki I untuk ada anak. Macam tu kan. So the socialization process tu Dia prepare the child and the child goes through that process sampai dia besar. So dia ada idea that okay, untuk jadi feminine, I macam ni, this is what I expect to be. Okay, contohnya ada yang diajar untuk lembut kan. Kalau lembut-lembut tu is feminine, that's what you want to become. Okay, kalau nak jadi kan, guru mak cakap kadang-kadang kan, kena belajar masak ni, nanti nak jadi mak macam mana, tak pandai masak, nak jadi isteri macam mana kan. So kita dah ada attach ideas dah, what makes a good mother, what makes a good apa, daughter, what makes a good wife, kita dah ada idea dah. So kita sometimes ada expectation on ourselves dan kita ada expectation on others. Yang tu kita dapat daripada socialization process. So contohnya kalau kita masuk universiti, kita jumpa kawan kan, ataupun kita start staying dekat asrama, then kita betul-betul dapat nampak kita punya difference dengan orang lain. Yang mana our apa ni upbringing tu dengan orang lain punya upbringing is different. Kita tahu dia punya outlook tu different. Dia punya idea of contohnya cleanliness. Dia punya idea of practice yang mana okay, yang mana tak okay. So kita dapat how kita punya socialization process tu affect who we are dan juga apa expectation kita. Okay, so everybody punya circumstances is different kan. Contohnya some people mungkin ada resources yang lebih, tapi ada orang mungkin ada keluarga yang macam rapat, ada yang some of us mungkin datang daripada keluarga yang tak berapa okey kan, tapi ada kawan-kawan yang baik contohnya. So kita semua berbeza dan not everybody, bukan semua wanita macam rupa dia start-start dia terus feminine yang macam lembut, suara dia lembut, dia selalu diam je contohnya kan. That is the idea of apa normative femininity in our society kan, yang lembut, yang ayu, yang apa ni, suara dia perlahan je, dia pun tak berlebih-lebihan contohnya, tak kedepan sangat, lebih kepada patuh contohnya kan. That's one idea of femininity, tapi tak semua wanita pun macam tu kan. Jadi femininity tu lebih kepada normative keadaan dan konteks keadaan tu, dan dia berubah-ubah kan. Contohnya kalau kita tengok in the West, the idea of apa feminine today is strong kan. Dia ada banyak figure wanita yang contemporary tahun 2020 macam tu yang lebih strong, maksudnya yang lebih ke hadapan. So normatif dia dah berubah. Kita boleh nampak dalam jangka masa hidup kita perubahan normatif apa, what is feminine and what is not feminine. Nah, macam itulah. So kita boleh tahu daripada situ, okay, culturally ataupun socially what is expected. Itu satu. Okay, so kita pun ada persamaan walaupun kita datang daripada keluarga lain dan sebagainya, tapi dalam satu masyarakat tu selalu dia ada persamaan in terms of expectation of what we are going to be kan. Contohnya macam gambarnya kan, anak-anak dengan mak nampak happy je. So these are all of the messages ataupun ideas yang kita dah dibiasakan, dan kita pun put expectation macam tu kan. Contohnya kita expect that sebagai ibu kita akan happy, kita akan pandai buat, kita akan pandai jaga anak dan sebagainya. Okay, nanti saya bincangkan sikit lah what are the research yang ada that tells us about how kita experience this kind of processes lah. Okay, semua okay? Okay ke? Okay, alright. Okay, so macam satu hari kan, macam hari ada ni macam Ayla, tak adalah. This is all of us eh kan, kalau kita sebagai seorang mak, seorang ibu, banyak sangat benda nak buat dalam satu hari kan. Apa ni? Kalau ada baby nak jaga anak, nak sihat pun nak juga. Kadang-kadang ada hobi, mungkin suka painting, mungkin suka buat benda lain kan. Lepas tu nak cari juga keuangan, nak stable, nak kongsi rezeki tadi kan. Nak jaga rumah, mungkin nak kena kemas rumah, bersihkan rumah. Kalau kita ada career, kita ada fulfilling career, kita nak macam contribute to our work. Kita pun ada apa elemen kerohanian yang kita nak jaga. Ada kawan-kawan, nak pergi beli bahan rumah, nak jaga perhubungan suami isteri, tolong anak buat homework kan, masak-masak lah semua. Macam-macam kita nak buat dalam satu hari. Dekat situ mungkin kita rasa okay, kat situ challenge dia kan. Macam mana nak buat semua, nak achieve semua in the time that we have. Okay, sometimes it feels impossible. Kenapa it feels impossible? Okay, so kita nampak eh, ada banyak role yang kita bawa sebenarnya in the day-to-day process, dan ada banyak expectations juga. kita mungkin boleh list down. Okay, what apa yang kita boleh buat is we list down what is what are the things that we have to do or we think we have to do. So kita tulis and it is very helpful. Apa for sociologists kita ada time use survey. Okay, kita buat macam time use survey ni kan kita buat research, lepas tu kita check kita macam collect lah data macam mana orang gunakan masa dan berapa banyak masa digunakan untuk pelbagai aktiviti. So kita tahu secara purata, okay, seluruh dunia lah, okay, wanita akan menggunakan masa yang banyak untuk buat kerja rumah. So kita tahu lah kerja rumah ni dia gender juga kan. Walaupun di negara yang mana dia orang push for apa equal rights kan, macam tu, still women spend more time to do the housework. Okay. So kita tahu, okay, so sebagai individu kita boleh check, okay, how much time do I spend, what work yang I kena buat. So kita tulis. Memang kita akan nampak, oh macam okay, banyak benda yang I kena buat. Daripada situ kita boleh ask ourselves, do I have to do all of this ataupun I boleh share the workload. So you take the time to mungkin spend satu afternoon ke untuk duduk-duduk dan tulis what is it that you think you have to do as a person. Mungkin you boleh categorize-kan your role as a person untuk diri sendiri. Contohnya kan, you ada goal yang you nak, yang macam your own goals for yourself. Nak exercise ke, nak ensure that you khatam Quran ke, nak ensure that you jaga you punya solat tahajud. And then you ada financial, your own financial independence. Lepas tu mungkin you ada career goals, dan mungkin you ada goals sebagai seorang parent, then you ada goals sebagai community worker contohnya kan. So you list down semua tu, all of that, take time to do that, and then notice that things that you put expectations on you, apa dia. Okay, so nanti kita akan tengok later how can we go about that. Okay, alright. Okay, so kita nak trace back kenapa kita rasa macam kita bertanggungjawab atas semua benda kan. What's happened actually in the world that's causing us to feel like this, ataupun at the same time why is it that women just selalu have problems yang berkenaan dengan kerjaya, yang berkenaan dengan work-life balance. So what has happened lah kiranya. So number one, kita boleh tengok kan, mungkin dalam masa 200 tahun lah kalau kita trace balik jauh sangat, I mean it's quite challenging kan. Mungkin saya boleh highlight one important ataupun interesting fact lah. When the Prophet SAW came, kan, he brought women empowerment, he elevated women kan. So that was one of his apa most valuable books for women kan, for women during his time. Salam the apa the female sahaba, his wife, his children. Kita boleh nampak role of strong women tu ada, betul tak? Macam apa his wives would participate dalam social settings, in political settings, dah pergi war kan, they had access to financial stability. So it looks like kalau kita feedback, it doesn't look like macam tally with our time. Kenapa in our time it seems to be a problematic pula kan. And then some people question juga, and it's and they orang bawa argument yang nampak macam ada berbau Islamik, tapi kalau kita tengok balik sunnah, it doesn't show like that. So what has happened kan, from the Islamic punya line tu, kita nampak perubahan happen in the 900 and 1100 punya century. Dekat situ kita nampak changes, okay, where women start masuk the domestic realm, kurang women participate in the social realm ataupun dunia luar rumah, so dia masuk dalam the domestic sphere lebih sikit. Okay, tapi kalau kita tengok generally in the world, kita boleh trace back mungkin 100 years macam tu. What happens is ada rise of capitalism lah kiranya, ada urbanization, semua orang pindah kepada kawasan urban untuk cari kerja. Dia ada start, kita ada start apa industri-industri baru. Jadi dunia pun berubah. Kita pindah daripada kawasan kampung kepada kawasan bandar, dan daripada situ kita boleh nampak juga the rise of education kan, kiranya cara menuntut ilmu tu is very specific sekarang ni kan. Kita kena masuk sekolah umur 7 tahun, lepas tu sekolah kena ada darjah 1 dan sebagainya sampailah universiti. Dan kita cuba dapatkan education untuk semua, untuk perempuan dan untuk lelaki. Dan di Malaysia, women and girls dah surpass men, dah surpass the boys in terms of education attainment and also in terms of educational success. Maksudnya, we have more girls that do better at school than we have boys that do better at tertiary level juga at universities than we have boys. So we know that more women dah ada education and that comes with, maksudnya it moves into employment. Lagi ramai wanita that wants to participate at work, that wants to have a career dan juga the situation forces lah kiranya, the situations juga follow. Jadi kalau nak survive ataupun nak have life yang stabil into this time, you have to have two dual earners lah. Kiranya dua suami isteri kena bekerja kan. So kita ada better access for employment for women dan women pun masuk kepada the employment punya field kan. Dan juga bila kita cakap pasal employment today is also specific to our time. Dulu punya mungkin zaman Nabi SAW dia punya look of employment is different. Contohnya kan Sayyidatina Fatimah, dia bekerja, cara dia bekerja tu different. Contohnya ada narration of Ali and Fatimah bekerja to carry water. So dulu macam mungkin pekerjaan dulu to find income is different kan. It's not the same macam today kita ada 9 to 5 job. Contohnya kita ada kena clock in dan clock out. We have to go out to go to work. Yang mana we have to travel. Kalau kita duduk di Bangi, kita kerja di KL, kita kena travel kan. So it looks different. Nah, so tapi the working world that we have today adalah satu structure yang kita adapt, yang mana dia dimulakan dengan kebanyakan pekerja ataupun majority pekerja adalah lelaki. So the structure itself lebih accommodate to men. Sebab tu kita tak ada problem of men juggling things, kan? Sebab with the rise of capitalism, dia divide. Macam tu ada domestic realm dengan ada working realm. Macam tu domestic realm adalah untuk wanita dan working realm adalah untuk lelaki. So the shape, everything, policy semua tu lebih kepada lelaki dan tidak, belum accommodate lagi women punya needs ataupun belum accommodate to reproductive needs. Reproductive needs ni termasuklah macam untuk fathers, untuk mothers, untuk ada childcare facility. So dia belum family friendly. So kita nampaklah isu dekat situ. Dan over time with access to education dan education attainment, makin lambat orang berkahwin dan makin lambat orang ada anak. So daripada situ kita nampaklah perubahan masa kan. Dulu mungkin kalau kita tanya atuk nenek kita umur berapa ada anak kan, macam much younger daripada us. Umur 20s tu mungkin dah anak dah beramai dah kan. Umur 30 mungkin dah tak ada, dah berhenti dah. Untuk wanita zaman sekarang, kita punya sekarang ni average age of first birth adalah 27 di Malaysia. So first baby selalunya lingkungan umur yang macam tu. Sangat berbeza. So dia dah delay. Okay. Dan lagi satu, daripada urbanization tu, apa yang berlaku is kita dah makin jauh dengan keluarga kita. Dulu mungkin dalam satu rumah, kan, dalam satu keluarga kita duduk ibu bapa, anak-anak, so ada atuk nenek. Kadang-kadang kita mungkin duduk dengan pakcik-makcik. So keluarga kita lebih besar dan closer together. Dan satu perkampungan tu ada banyak keluarga yang dekat-dekat kan. So pembesaran anak ataupun penjagaan kanak-kanak tu kita kongsi bersama. It's a shared responsibility. Yang mana konsep dia lebih kepada it takes a village to raise a child. Kan, kita boleh je tinggalkan anak kita kat rumah jiran ataupun biar je anak lari-lari, tak ada problem kan. Tapi hari ni kita live on our own. Contohnya kan, family kita mungkin jauh, tak tahu dekat. Mungkin dalam satu bandar yang sama dan mungkin juga bukan bandar yang sama, duduk kat negeri lain kan. So tanggungjawab membesarkan anak tu dah jadi private. Maksudnya dah jadi main responsibility of parents sahaja untuk take care of children, yang mana sebelum ni kita kongsikan. So dia punya demands pun berbeza dan makin lama the demands of parenthood tu dia bertambah. Kan, dulu kalau kita tanya atuk nenek kita, dia mungkin tak fikir pun anak tu berapa jam tengok TV kan. Sebab dulu pun mungkin tak ada TV. Sekarang ni kita pun nak kena monitor screen time anak, nak check anak punya emotional health, nak tengok growth. So the things that parents are responsible for increases. Dan makin lama makin banyak tanggungjawab nak membesarkan anak. So the challenges tu dah different dah. So sebagai seorang ibu yang mungkin berkerjaya juga, tanggungjawab dia berbeza. Dan kita tahu in our time bila kita cakap parenthood, sebenarnya kita lebih banyak imagine women kan. Kita lagi banyak bagi expectation on women. So dekat situlah kita nampak, okay, the demands jadi banyak dan lebih banyak tu lebih kepada ibu. Sekarang ni tiba-tiba ada COVID kan. So bila ada COVID-19 lagi things become different. Dan ada banyak benda yang kita kena adapt dan ada banyak lagi responsibility yang kita lalui, kita hadapi sekarang ni. Sebelum ni kita hantar anak pergi sekolah kan. Sekarang ni anak dekat rumah. So ada PDPR, kita pun nak kena check anak dan sebagainya. Okay, so apa dah jadi sekarang ni? Okay, dulu macam okay pagi-pagi semua orang siap. Kelang kabut juga pagi-pagi kan. Semua orang siap, okay pergi sama-sama pergi kerja, drop anak dekat sekolah. Contohnya sebagai wanita bekerja, kita hantar pergi sekolah ataupun pergi childcare ataupun mungkin hantar dekat jiran ke, hantar dekat mak ke kan. Lepas tu kita pergi kerja. So bila kita dekat kerja tu, kita macam alone lah macam ni kan. Macam I happy je. Okay, kita ada domestic sphere. So bukan senang, hidup pun masih challenging. Tapi we have that divide. So kita tahu, okay, space ni di mana I bekerja, I akan bekerja. So this is a typical lah. Maksudnya typical women akan experience that. I am not representative of all women lah. Kiranya some women memang work from home daripada dulu. Dia ada business sendiri. Ada women yang work on shift kan. Tapi another added challenge yang kita ada sekarang, cabaran yang baru adalah with COVID, kita tiba-tiba ada more responsibility dan dekat dah tak ada divide dah. Dah tak ada divide yang mana kita boleh bahagikan. Especially kalau kita work from home, kita di rumah betul-betul dan anak pun bersekolah di rumah. Dan anak umur yang persekolahan yang berbeza-beza, contohnya kalau ada anak, beberapa anak. Dan kita pun mungkin melalui a lot of challenges. Mungkin yang bawah tu mungkin bukan muka kita, mungkin tu muka kita kan. Stress buat setiap hari, apa nak buat, apa, macam mana nak uruskan all of the things kan. So we have a new experience sekarang dan kita pun tak tahu how long the PKP is going to last ataupun keadaan yang macam ni. Kita harapkan things will get better soon. Tapi if not, what do we want to do? What can we do? Can so these are things that influence the challenges that women ada while they are working. So does it mean that we shouldn't work or what should we do? Okay, that's a question that we always have, kan? Okay. So, things that we can do. Okay, this is the part that I think is most important for us. Yang mana kita boleh fikirkan apa yang kita nak buat sebenarnya. Macam mana kita nak perbaiki keadaan. Okay, number one is the most important lah. Yang mungkin kita tak perasan sebab kita fokus kepada diri kita sahaja. Actually, the most important thing that we want to change is policy. Okay, sebagai seorang sociologist, this is most important to ensure that we have better policies untuk keluarga. Maksudnya, kita ada better maternity policy, maternity leave policy kan. Berapa lama kita dapat cuti sebagai seorang ibu sementara kita nak go back to work. Macam tu. Dan siapa yang termasuk dalam maternity leave ni? Some jobs ada shorter maternity leaves. Ada yang ada maternity leave tapi sebenarnya kena buat kerja juga masa maternity leave. Ada yang tak dapat maternity leave. Contohnya kerja shift tak dapat pun maternity leave. So kita nak ensure that semua all mothers get maternity leave dan juga paternity leave. Okay. Bila kita cakap pasal parenthood kan, working life balance between mothers and fathers macam tu kan. Kita kena fokus juga kenapa ada problem kan. Contohnya kalau kita seorang ibu, kita tahu bila time maternity leave, kalau kita duduk jauh daripada keluarga kita, we really need support. Tapi where can we get the support from? Betul tak? Kita kadang-kadang harapkan suami kita tapi dia tak ada cuti ataupun dia cuti satu hari je. So kita kena push for policies yang mana it is family friendly. So fathers pun boleh dapat cuti berbayar untuk membantu, especially di mana kita dah urban, kita duduk di kawasan urban dan kita jauh daripada social support system. Yang kedua adalah policy changes untuk childcare options. Maksudnya di negara yang lebih maju, contohnya dia ada better policies untuk childcare. Yang mana if they want to encourage women to work, dia akan consider childcare. Macam tu. Dia akan look at the economics of childcare. Sebab dia value childcare tu. Childcare tu berbayar dan dibayar baik. Maksudnya untuk orang jaga anak, dia ada pembayaran yang baik. So ibu bapa ni dia pilih childcare satu daripada cost. Okay, berapa kos sebenarnya untuk hantar anak ke contohnya tempat yang berdaftar, because that's important kan. Berapa jauh tempat childcare tu daripada rumah ataupun tempat kerja. Then the quality of childcare. So kita kalau kita betul-betul ambil berat tentang untuk dapatkan macam high rates of employment among women supaya lagi ramai wanita dapat kerja berkerjaya ataupun lagi ramai wanita boleh contribute back to the society, kita kena consider childcare. Okay, bila kita cakap pasal childcare option ni, kita look baliklah at the privatization of parenthood kan. Dalam sesetengah society, dia rasa tanggungjawab membesarkan anak tu memang tanggungjawab ibu bapa. Contohnya di New Zealand, jadi dia bagi cuti lama. Contohnya di Sweden, dia bagi cuti sampai 2 tahun, okay, untuk ibu bapa ambil cuti supaya boleh besarkan anak. Di negara yang mana dia rasa tak apa, childcare tu boleh dikongsi, dia akan invest duit negara dia kepada childcare option tu. So dia bagi childcare murah ataupun free supaya everybody can go back to work. Macam tu. So kita kena ask ourselves lah untuk negara kita, what do we want? Kita nak anak-anak kita ada childcare yang bagus, yang mana ada shared responsibility dengan community, membesarkan anak sama-sama dengan cara yang baik, ataupun kita nak ibu bapa sendiri yang besarkan anak. So kita boleh push our policy untuk that. So policy tu perlu lebih family friendly. Sama juga macam contohnya di France, ada policy yang mana bos tak boleh text kita lepas ataupun tak boleh call kita after work hours kan. That's a very good policy yang will not make us feel stressed out kan. Jadi kita tahu waktu kita berada di rumah, kita memang at home. So macam family friendly policies ni sangat membantu untuk kita sebagai wanita tak rasa macam we are not doing good enough. So the system to provides for us, the system to caters to ensure that we can do a good job at our work dan kita tak rasa macam kejap kat sini, kejap kat situ contohnya kan. So that's important. So mungkin kita tak perasan, tapi actually sebagai citizen ataupun if we have bigger macam role in politics ke apa, we have to push for better policies. Okay, itu yang pertama lah. I think that's more important daripada apa yang kita buat as individuals. The highest level lah kiranya macam Manro Amin Kumunkara tu, we want to be the top one tu, it should be the policy first kan. And then the second one is perubahan yang kita boleh buat at the societal and familial level. Dalam keluarga kita sendiri, bukan not just for us tapi for the environment. Contohnya kan, kebanyakan isu yang kita ada adalah pengurusan rumah, macam tadi kan, pengurusan masa. Isu pengurusan masa ni sebab wanita gunakan banyak masa untuk buat semua kerja yang berkaitan dengan rumah, berkaitan dengan anak. Kerja rumah dengan kerja anak ni berbeza. Dia bukan benda yang sama sebab kadang-kadang dia put together. So kita rasa macam kerja rumah tu sama, jaga anak sama, nak basuh baju sama, nak basuh pinggan sama, nak beli barang rumah. It's actually a lot. It's actually a lot of work that takes a lot of time dan bukan responsibility wanita sahaja. Everybody that lives at home have the responsibility untuk jaga rumah dan macam take care of the family together lah kan. Jadi we can talk about these things and we can make changes to these things. Contohnya, kalau kita ada anak lelaki, kita biasakan untuk anak lelaki buat kerja rumah bersama. So kita boleh learn to share the responsibility, share the workload. Bukan, it's not just female's job untuk basuh pinggan, untuk basuh baju, lipat baju, kan? Untuk beli barang rumah. Jadi dibiasakan supaya a new generation akan dah terbiasa that everybody does the housework. As long as I live in this house, I will do the housework together. Macam ni. Contohnya kalau kita dah berkahwin, kita kena bincang dengan suami kita ataupun sebelum berkahwin, kita clarify dulu with potential spouse tu, how do you see gender roles at home? How do you see doing work at home? Because it's a big deal kan? Nampak macam kecil tapi sebenarnya it's a big deal. Because kita akan share our lives together. Kalau kita akan berkahwin dengan orang yang tak nak buat apa-apa langsung, then kita we have to think lah kan. Okay, boleh ke? Can I do this alone on my own kan? So we have to discuss juga. Dan macam mana kita nak make those changes? Sebenarnya kan, okay, mungkin sounds interesting to share. The first generation yang buat perubahan tu yang akan lalui kesukaran sedikit. Sebab kita kena unlearn pattern kita. So couples ataupun families, young families yang changing culture, dia akan melalui kesukaran untuk beberapa tahun. And so if you are that family yang mana you want to create that change, please expect that it is challenging for you to learn to navigate. Macam mana sebenarnya kita nak bahagikan kerja kan? Sebab sometimes kita expect that benda tu akan 50-50. But it will never be 50-50 sebenarnya. Some days kita penat, so kita boleh bagi 20 je. Some days mungkin suami kita penat, dia boleh bagi 20 je. Kadang-kadang semua orang okay, semua orang boleh bagi 100%. Ada hari yang macam seorang okay, seorang tak okay. Jadi kita kena faham itulah, kita punya expectation pun kena clear. Dan macam mana kita nak bahagi kerja kan? Mungkin awal-awal tu kita eager, kita baru kahwin, baru ada anak. Kita pun nak macam I want to do the best macam tu kan? So kita pun macam, okay, you buat ni, I buat ni, you buat ni, I buat ni kan. Tapi sebenarnya, mungkin that doesn't work out. So give yourself and give your family some time to adjust in terms of who is going to do what. Ataupun mungkin you don't divide macam tu, mungkin you divide according to hari. So find your own rhythm, kan. Maksudnya everybody punya family lain, everybody punya circumstances lain, dan keboleh upayaan orang pun lain. Some people are good at cooking, kan? Some people are better at cleaning. Mungkin both of you are not good at anything when you get married, tapi as you go on, you will learn to be better. So, give yourselves some space untuk grow together, untuk learn to divide that. So, if you are that first generation, it's okay if it's challenging in the beginning to make that change. But it will be important supaya nanti anak-anak kita can learn daripada situ, dan for them, it will be much easier. Contohnya kan, dia boleh nampak. So contohnya kalau kita datang daripada keluarga, so the research says that untuk wanita yang datang daripada keluarga yang mana ibu dia suri rumah, dia agak challenging untuk dia sebab dia tak nampak how the mother can divide the job ataupun the role. So they may need some support to understand that. Itu yang first lah. Okay, kita making cultural change tu kan. So kita encourage that. Mungkin kita ada a bit of power, kita boleh observe that. So kita pun boleh encourage anak-anak kita untuk watch things ataupun to see things that nampak kan ada sharing tu. Ataupun ada dibiasakan wanita stories about women who actively support macam doing social work, buat kerja-kerja NGO macam tadi kan somebody cakap. So dia terbiasa dan dia tak rasa kekok macam wanita yang sepatutnya duduk rumah je. These are things that kita boleh introduce. Contohnya belikan buku that shows that women, contohnya times of the Prophet SAW, that women were active outside. Ataupun beli buku about women doing things that are not just that. Sama juga books about boys doing housework contohnya. So dia terbiasa sebab kalau kita tengok silibus sekolah tu, kita nampak it's very skewed to one side kan. Kalau kita mungkin ada expertise one day ataupun you already have the ability to change these things supaya even at the societal level we are making those change luar daripada keluarga kita. Kalau kita buat mungkin kita masuk industri perfilman ke kan, kita buat advertisement ke, these are very powerful tools to create this kind of societal changes. So kita boleh buat, contohnya kita penulis buku untuk buku kanak-kanak ke, all of these things play a role in changing our society's outlook. Okay, so those are things that kita boleh dapatkan lah. Then kita boleh juga, okay, the last point ni yang support and care ni, dia ada hubung kait dengan personal adjustment. Making sure that kita prepare for ourselves untuk manage work and kita punya family and kita punya apa parenting dan sebagainya dengan ada support dan care. Maksudnya kita sediakan untuk diri kita dan kita ask for help. Dan kita minta juga support daripada orang-orang lain. Contohnya kita identify. Identify who can I depend on untuk dapatkan help. And that's very important, especially time-time macam ni, we really need to think about kita ada tak anybody kita boleh depend on, ada tak anybody kita boleh ask for help. Contohnya we are having a bad day, memang we feel very challenged, mungkin it's getting difficult and we need some time off. Ada tak somebody kita boleh reach out to yang boleh tolong tengokkan anak-anak ataupun take over some task supaya we can take time to soothe ourselves. That's very important juga. So we have to think about that. Sometimes kita provide care kan, culturally pun something that we consider feminine is to provide care, untuk provide support untuk orang is something that we consider feminine punya trait. Tapi kita sometimes forget to think about ourselves ataupun if in our family mungkin there is no one else that is like us. So kita mungkin will be someone yang kekurangan support and care. So we try to communicate that. We can communicate that to our macam extended family, adik-beradik kita ataupun apa, ibu kalau kita ada parents mungkin they are still able, mungkin boleh tolong kita ataupun we can talk to our spouse and say that okay, there are this that I cannot, I need you to help me, macam tu kan. So we communicate juga. So we ensure that kita ada, kita strategic lah, kita, we have to be strategic kan, so that we take care of ourselves juga. And then last sekali baru, we think about making personal adjustment. Dan yang paling penting sekali, for women who work and have several roles is understanding expectation. Dan expectation ni macam saya cakap tadi lah kan, from the beginning I said, kita learn to build those expectations. Kadang-kadang kita stress sebab rumah kita tak bersih, kan? Sebab kita expect that rumah kita akan cantik je setiap masa dan bersih je, table pun macam cantik je, apa, semua terurus, okay, tak ada habuk ke apa ke. So that those are expectations that we put on ourselves. Ataupun kita expect that anak kita sentiasa macam habis dia homework. Bila homework tak habis, kita stress, kan? So kita kena set the expectations yang realistic. Sometimes kita stress sebagai ibu sebab kadang-kadang expectation kepada anak-anak pun tak betul contohnya. Jadi we can learn. Dari situ we can learn tentang child development. So kita tahu contohnya, oh biasalah anak nangis masa dia umur 2-3 tahun sebab kita tahu it's tantrum years, kan? Contohnya dia memang, that's their developmental milestone. So we, from knowledge tu kita tahu, okay, I cannot expect that dia akan be in macam behavior yang baik je all the time. Ataupun macam tu kan. And then expectation juga, kalau ada anak rumah bersepah maksudnya it's okay. Then we teach the children to clean up contohnya. So we set realistic expectations on our children, on ourselves juga, then on our house, kan. So kita kena with knowledge, insyaAllah kita punya expectations tu lebih realistic. Contohnya the expectations on ourselves juga. Tadi kan I suggest kita buat list kan, all of the things that we do. So kita tengok balik, is this realistic for another person to do or not? So kalau daripada situ, we learn to be kind to ourselves and know that okay, actually today I have to prioritize these things. So kita focus on doing these things. Ataupun kita nak tengok long term. So daripada situ, we learn to understand capacity kita, keboleh upayaan kita waktu-waktu. So sometimes kita memang apa, energetic. Lepas tu kita macam okay boleh, hari ni boleh buat lebih. So we get to do more. Tapi kita understand juga. And that's important. Okay. Oh okay, tinggal 10 minit sahaja lagi. Don't worry, this is the last slide pun. Okay. So these are things that we can do. So I think the most important is usually things that are beyond us. Tapi it's not beyond us because we cannot do anything about it, but because we need to make the structural changes. So kita look out for, contohnya kalau kita boss, kita make sure that dalam company kita, kita buat policy yang family friendly. Kita focus on that. Kalau kita ada apa, influence at the societal level, push for that. Kita make discussions about that at the apa, kita punya workplace ke, kita tanya. Contohnya HR, ada tak policy ni? Macam mana dapatkan? Contohnya kita ada breastfeeding policy kan dekat Malaysia, tapi kebanyakan bos tak buat apa-apa pun. Tapi sebenarnya they're supposed to provide apa, tempat yang betul. So you don't have, you're supposed to have a room in every workplace. Ada policy yang mana is you should have a space and you should have a time to express your milk. Macam tu kan. Tapi kebanyakan company tak ada, melainkan company yang besar-besar. So actually itu regulation, they have to. So you shouldn't have to pump your milk in the toilet ke, shouldn't have to pump your milk in apa, surau ke. Sepatutnya ada tempat yang sesuai dan masa yang diperuntukkan. These are policies yang kita dah ada dekat negara kita, tapi implementation kita tak check. Okay. So these things kita boleh watch out for kalau kita tak ada power untuk push for them. Contohnya kita tak kerja kat kerajaan ataupun kita tak ada, kita bukan politician, tapi we can always ask. Contohnya ask kat boss kita, ask kat parliamentary. Kita boleh apa, email ataupun call ahli parlimen kita, cakap eh boleh tak pushkan for policy, is important for us contohnya. Ataupun email kementerian. Actually we do have the ability to do that. So we can do that. And then all the other changes lah. Okay. Alright, itu sahaja daripada saya. I will give everybody a moment. Kalau nak, kalau ada apa-apa soalan ataupun you want to reach out to me, you can always email me ataupun find me on my social media spaces, either on Instagram ataupun di Twitter. Okay. I think pihak urus setia ada tulis kat situ. Kalau ada apa-apa soalan, boleh je tanya di ruangan chat. Okay, saya stop sharing ya. Okay, kita buka lah ruangan untuk tanya apa-apa soalan.
Okay, jika ada para peserta yang ada soalan, mungkin boleh bersuara terus.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum, Doktor.
Waalaikumsalam.
Saya, Atika.
Waalaikumsalam, Atika.
Doktor. Saya ada soalan. Maybe this is a bit personal regarding your pathway. Macam mana doktor boleh reach to the level yang sekarang doktor ada? Maksudnya apa laluan yang doktor ambil untuk sampai di tahap ini?
InsyaAllah, I baru je lagi. I am a very young academic. I'm still learning. I'm still finding my way around things lah. Still doing about. I'm very junior punya academic. Okay, apa lalui, laluan yang I lalui. Mungkin I can share academically apa I buat ke? Is that your question ke? Academic being
pathway? Yes, yes. In terms of academic, what course did you take at first until you become sociologist?
Okay, saya ambil degree in sociology and anthropology juga di IUM. Dan daripada situ, Alhamdulillah, I got my first degree, bachelor's with first class honours. Dan juga at the time, for my final year tu, I managed to write a thesis. Tapi I think sekarang dah ada FYP dah kan. For most courses ada FYP lah kan. Masa zaman I dulu tak ada. So I buat final year thesis. Masa dulu diorang panggil academic exercise lah. And with my thesis tu, I got offered to do a PhD. So I tak buat masters. I terus dapat offer untuk buat PhD after my degree. So I buat I punya PhD di Victoria University of Wellington di New Zealand. Daripada situ I finish my PhD, then after that UIA also offered me the job that I have today. So daripada situ I went back to UIA. I was not bonded to, I tak ada contract dengan UIA pun, tapi alhamdulillah ada rezeki kat situ and I saw a place for me to give back and also contribute. So I came back. Macam tu je lah, cerita dia pendek je.
I see. Very inspiring. Masya Allah. Thank you, Doktor.
You're welcome. Ada soalan lagi?
Kalau ada soalan mungkin boleh teruskan. Okay, silakan.
Assalamualaikum, Doktor. Nama saya Anissa Aisyah. Dan soalan saya. Bagi saya yang belum habis belajar ni, ada apa persediaan yang boleh saya lakukan sebelum melangkah ke alam kerjaya? Okey, tu je. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama. Okey. Banyak benda ni boleh bagi tips kan? Okey, mungkin I think seize every opportunity that you have untuk grow. Don't be scared to grow lah. Maksudnya jangan takut untuk ambil peluang untuk belajar, untuk try to take opportunities that are outside the classroom kan. Maksudnya not just to excel in class, macam nak dapatkan CGPA, tapi try to find opportunities elsewhere juga. Mungkin participate in NGO work, try to take on some responsibility daripada macam mungkin ada roles yang ada bagi you responsibility to network with other people. These are macam soft skills yang you akan learn, dan juga network yang you can build tu will really grow you. Macam tu kan. And then I think one of the most important things I think for young people to learn that I think I learn a bit later is to find a good mentor ataupun several mentors. Contohnya you look up to certain women kan, ataupun mungkin you look up to some people yang you nampak okay in contohnya you nak join academia kan, you nampak okay this professor, I look up to this person sebab research yang dia buat is very valuable dan sebagainya, and I want to learn from them. So you try to see if they are willing to coach you, and then mungkin daripada aspek yang lain, ada mentor yang lain that can help you, so you can reach out to them juga. And I think we have a lot of good people yang mana they are happy to mentor us, then to teach us the ropes, to give us support, macam tu. And it's very valuable sebab especially kalau kita young kan, kita selalu question ourselves ataupun kita ada issue yang mana kita rasa a bit like an imposter ke macam tu. Usually our mentor ni dia akan guide kita and help us to figure out, macam tu lah. Mentor ni dia bukan macam mentor berbayar tau. Usually people who are successful, they are happy to help us. Then they will always support us because they see something in us and they see a potential. Dan dia buat kerja tu is to give back. Maksudnya because they see the next generation needs whatever that they can share with us. So I think that's another one that I would suggest. Okay, ada soalan. Bagaimana nak bekerjasama dengan perfectionist leader? Kadang-kadang terlalu inginkan semua perkara perfect sehingga kerja ada yang delay. Okay, saya minta maaf sangat. Asmira, saya pun tak tahu macam mana sebenarnya. Saya rasa kadang-kadang kita, we have to communicate some things. Tapi it's very dependent on your situation sebab saya pun tak berani nak bagi advice for things that are very personal. Because I don't know the situation and the apa, kiranya the relationship that you have with your boss, whether or not, ataupun your leader, whether or not you ada at all the liberty ataupun the access untuk discuss anything. So I'm really sorry, I tak berani nak bagi advice yang macam tu. Okay, ada tak soalan lain lagi? Oh okay, so macam mana nak cari mentor kan, dan macam mana nak okay, so sometimes kita boleh cool approach them. Contohnya kita hantarkan email tapi macam dengan cara yang sopan, kita tanya-tanya, kita daripada mula-mula kita pun kena check juga. Kadang-kadang kita nampak orang tu macam gah, Masya Allah kan, tapi bila kita approach dia, dia pun macam tak berapa minat sangat nak mentor kita. So kita pun kena identify lah, are they ready to be a mentor? Are they going to be a good mentor? Are they supporting us? So we have to be also a bit smart lah in terms of identifying a right mentor. Sometimes some people are successful but maybe they are not ready to mentor people yet ataupun they are busy dan sebagainya. So kita pun kena try to find lah, macam fine tune sikit benda tu, is it going to work out ataupun tidak. Okay, ada soalan daripada Mira. Doktor, tadi doktor ada beritahu negara seperti New Zealand akan bagi cuti kepada bapa untuk bantu perkembangan anak. Okay, ya, cuti berbayar. Sebenarnya kan, paternity leave and maternity leave ni is a very interesting field of study lah, kiranya kalau kita nak study kan. Contohnya, di Korea dan Japan, diorang ada very low fertility rate. So, dia nak increasekan fertility rate. So, dia nak encourage people to become parents. So dia bagi paid paternity leave lah. So kira berbayar untuk bapa-bapa ambil setahun 53 minggu cuti berbayar. Okay. Tapi only 3 to 5% of men will take it. So even though dia ada, even though access to that leave ada, they still don't take it because of cultural things. Sebab dia rasa macam there is leave but I shouldn't take it sebab it's not manly, it's not masculine. So at the end of the day, they didn't take it. Contohnya di New Zealand, diorang ada paid parental leave. Dia punya weakness dekat situ, dia berkongsi. So dia tak divided. Kiranya dia bukan maternity leave ataupun paternity leave, dia parental leave. So you have to share it, macam tu. So you can choose siapa nak ambil dulu ataupun nak ambil sama-sama, macam tu lah. They have 6 months of paid leave, macam tu. Tapi scheme dia agak berbeza lah. Dia ada diorang punya own scheme of payment. Different countries ada different schemes of payment. One of the best ones is macam yang dekat Korea and Japan is really good. In Sweden also is very good. Scandinavian countries usually have very good paternity atau maternity leave. Okay. Atika Rosna, doctor, could you suggest some good books every woman should read? Allah, banyak good books. You follow lah my Instagram, I always share books about different books that I like lah. Again, macam there, I'm sure there are many good books for you to read. But I do share books that I find valuable lah lebih and always geared lebih kepada social sciences. Okay, Siti Nur Farhana, bagaimana untuk kita kekal dan bertahan dengan kerjaya itu? Okay, mungkin ada orang bertukar kerjaya sebab sometimes, okay, in some profession, bila you pindah kerja, you punya wage tu lagi tinggi. So every time you pindah job, your wage can increase. Sebab you may be offered a better position over time. In some jobs, you want to stay a bit longer. So it depends on the employment type. Sometimes people change because mungkin it's not a good fit for them in terms of company, in terms of team that they have to work with. So dia, it really depends on the type of job that you have. Some people, contohnya kerja kerajaan, they want to stay forever kan. Contohnya bila kerja kerajaan nak stay sampai habis, sampai pencin contohnya in the same job. So it will depend on kita punya profession, then it will depend also on working environment that kita ada. Nur Shazwin, doctor, how to control emotion especially women in every situation and almost time. Okay, yang pasal emotion ni mungkin aku sempat share sociological perspective sikit lah kot. Sebab bila kita cakap emotional ni, kita selalu macam associate women being emotional kan. As though men are not emotional. Tapi emotion is, everybody has emotion, whether it's female or male. So there is this gendered idea of being emotional. Bila lelaki marah kan, so macam in our apa society, sometimes kita ada place gender on emotion. Emotion, anger is usually a masculine emotion. Walhal sepatutnya benda tu tak perlu digenderkan. Tapi as a society, we have gendered certain emotions. Sadness. Sadness is a female emotion. Kan? Macam something lebih feminine. But actually, everybody can experience sadness. So, bila men have anger, kan, kita nampak lelaki macam marah, kita tak cakap, eh, you emotional lah, macam tu kan. We don't attach that to being emotional. So, when you say, ataupun when we say, I'm feeling emotional, we can identify what emotion is it that sebenarnya kita have. Kita tengah feeling sad, ataupun kita tengah feeling apa sebenarnya. So, we can think lah, like, okay, it's not because I'm female that I'm emotional, it's because I have emotion. And I have to identify emotion apa sebenarnya and what is causing me to have this emotion. So kita boleh identify how to address those emotion. And some, and we can validate our emotion. Feeling emotion is not a bad thing, but what we do with our emotion is something that we can look at. Okay. Kak Siti, doktor bagaimana nak manage diri or lebih appreciate diri sendiri sebab kadang-kadang rasa stress, anxiety maybe sebab tak capai sesuatu yang kita nak dan tambah lagi bila orang lain dapat. Okay, I understand how that feels kan, but everything Allah dah tetapkan in its perfect timing. Betul tak? So macam Allah makes us perfect for who we are and Allah makes us nice and beautiful kan. So we all have our own strength, we all have our own weaknesses and we're all going through something. And it's always our own path kan. Macam kita accountable for our own actions, we are not accountable for other people's actions. So we take things as they come and we do our best. InsyaAllah kalau kita buat something with ihsan tu, Allah akan ganti balik dengan ihsan. So we do the best that we can. Things happen in Allah's punya way lah kan, with qadar Allah. Like if it's meant to be now, it's going to be now. If it's not meant to be now, then insyaAllah something better is coming ataupun something better is waiting. So we have to, it's harder lah, it's harder said than done, betul tak? Macam it's easier said than done lah. Kita rasa macam sometimes we have to remind ourselves lah, we are doing our best, kita dah tie our camels macam tu. So we have to sometimes we have to leave things and try to accept them as how they come. I hope that's helpful. It's okay to feel sad. Kadang-kadang memang kita tengok orang ada, kita rasa macam kita pun nak juga. Kenapa orang lain dah kahwin dulu sebelum kita ke? Contohnya orang lain dah beli rumah dulu sebelum kita. But insyaAllah rezeki kita ada. InsyaAllah where it is Miss Nick, doktor macam mana nak survive dalam kerja kita bila tiba-tiba dapat skop kerja yang jauh berbeza dari tugas lama, ditambah pula dengan tim baru? Okay. I think macam ni, bila kita dapat a new task, sometimes it's an opportunity for growth, it's an opportunity for us to learn. Sometimes mungkin our superiors see something that we don't, mungkin dia nampak kita ada potential to do something else, kan? But with a new team, then we get to know new people, we get to network with new people yang mana mungkin sebelum ni kita tak jumpa, tapi kita dapat kenal orang baru. So we get to learn how to navigate around that. Because when we work, we always have to work with different people, kan? Jarang kita kerja dengan orang yang sama je for a long time, especially today. In today's time, in terms of employment, kan, memang we always have to work with different people. So this is something that we can learn lah over time, that then after a while we get better at meeting new people, and kita pun get better at learning to navigate and work with different types of personalities, different types of people yang mana dia punya apa background dan yang lain-lain. So that is also another opportunity for us to learn lah new things. I hope that, yeah. It's quite exciting lah, kan? Kiranya actually it's quite exciting to try something new. So it gives a breath of fresh air juga. Itu angle lah, perspektif contohnya we can use. Nur Maisara, doktor, bagaimana nak kontrol diri dari rasa give up dan lemah setiap kali leader tak support hasil kerja kita, malah hinaan saja yang dapat. Allahu Akbar, sedih. Sedih lah kalau macam ni, kan? Tapi tak apa, like if you're sad, it's okay. Contohnya macam, I don't know what you experience, kan? Mungkin in academia, kita kan hantar paper. Mungkin nak publish paper, lepas tu kena reject. Selalu kena reject, kan? Bila kena reject tu sedih. So, mungkin tips that I can give based on my own experience lah. Maybe if it doesn't work for you, you don't have to take it. If you get bad news ataupun bad feedback, give yourself time untuk feel bad. Contohnya, kalau you ada macam, contohnya kalau you dapat 3 hari, satu hari tu it's okay lah, you feel bad je hari tu. Macam feeling bad je, tak apalah, terima je lah. You feel bad dulu, lepas tu you accept, and then daripada situ you see, okay, what can I learn from this? Tapi kalau you tak ada 3 hari, mungkin you ada 1 jam je, you lari kejap lagi toilet, ataupun go somewhere where you can feel for a while and feel sad, it's okay. Ataupun feel angry sebab you are not being appreciated, you feel that emotion sekejap, and then you calm down. And then you can see, where can I, how can I make things better? Sometimes it's not about you. Mungkin sometimes other people's behavior tu is about them, it's not about us. So mungkin they are going through something, but tu dia put it on us. So we have to also be critical that, okay, actually, in this case, I don't really need to do a lot of things. But in the case where I have to learn, then I have to learn and I have to improve myself lah, macam tu. Tapi hopefully we don't always have to deal with this kind of situation, kan? Okay. From user, tak tahu user. Apa pendapat doktor bagi pandangan wanita perlu lebih maskulin untuk berkejaya dalam dunia corporate? Okay, there are a lot of research on this, corporate world and the look, kan, macam having a look. Unfortunately lah, in the corporate world, memang women who have a particular masculine look ataupun masculine demeanor is valued ataupun yang selalu gets promoted. But masculine ni bukanlah dia berpakaian lelaki ke apa ke. It just means that contohnya sometimes in order for women to support other women, what they do is they train their younger atau juniors to have a deeper voice. Kan, macam I mungkin tak lepas kerja corporate, so I have a very high pitch voice. But sometimes they teach their young ones to learn to speak in a deeper voice because that's more valued. Ataupun to say certain in certain ways. Contohnya, linguistics can show that women will always say I think, if I'm not mistaken, just. Kita banyak guna filler sebab kita takkan cakap dengan cara yang macam confident macam tu. So sometimes it's good for you to learn to do that if you want to survive in some types of job, because that's what is valued. So the masculinity tu mungkin dekat situ. In some jobs, they don't want to hear about your children, kan? But my suggestion lah would be, once you get to the top, you change the culture. Sebab you akan ada power to make those changes and make it that it's okay to be like that. That you will not allow for things to continue to perpetuate. So I think nowadays, lagi ramai women who are already in positions of power dekat dalam corporate world have push for changes yang macam tu to support that other forms of macam it's okay if you are ada high pitch voice or you wear like pink clothing ke, but it still means that you can do a good job. So yeah, it depends on the work sector juga sometimes in terms of acceptance of different personalities, different types of ataupun levels of femininity juga. Yeah, but if you cannot, it's just who you are, it's okay. Inshallah, when you do good work, it will be valued. Okay, ada tak soalan apa-apa lagi? Dah nak pukul 11. I hope the answers that I've given is beneficial, inshallah. If not, I am so sorry. Please exercise some critical thinking in terms of how you accept my suggestions. Okay, I rasa dah tak ada soalan dah. Kita pass balik. Sister Faizatun.
Okay. Baik, terima kasih Doktor. Masya Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, perkongsian yang bagi saya sangat menarik dan mungkin bagi para peserta juga sangat menarik dan penuh dengan informasi. Walaupun Doktor sering tekankan yang Doktor bukan mengemukakan suatu jalan penyelesaian, tapi Doktor bagi panduan yang satu garis panduan yang sangat-sangat saya kira sangat membantulah untuk kami, untuk saya yang belum berjaya dan mungkin kakak-kakak ada di sini yang sudah berjaya. Okay, jadi semoga bermanfaat dan bila tengok pada persoalan-persoalan pun sebenarnya banyak rupanya isu mengenai wanita berkejayaan. Jadi semoga dimudahkan urusan dalam pekerjaan untuk kita semua. Okay, jadi diingatkan juga untuk para peserta boleh mengisi Google Form yang disediakan di ruangan chat. Saya kira program kita sudah berakhir. Sekalung penghargaan dan terima kasih yang tak terhingga kepada Dr. Fatimah Al-Attas di atas perkongsian. Semoga ada ruang untuk kita mungkin sesi perkongsian ilmu pada masa akan datang, Doktor. Dan juga
insya-Allah.
Insya-Allah. Terima kasih banyak, Doktor. Alhamdulillah. Dan juga para peserta lah sebab saya kira sangat berpartisipasi dengan secara aktif dalam program ini. Semoga ilmu tersebut dapat dimanfaatkan. Okey, bagaimana kita ni pepatah Melayu kata kan, perempuan ni ibaratnya tangan yang menghayun buayan. Semoga tangan ini betul-betul mampu menggoncang dunia lah. Dan kita menjadi seindah-indah perhiasan dunia, insyaAllah.
Amin. Insya Allah.